This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Whatever the politics, today's decision was a victory for people all over this country whose lives will be more secure because of this law and the Supreme Court's decision to uphold it. In doing so, they've reaffirmed a fundamental principle that here in America, in the wealthiest nation on earth, no illness or accident should lead to any family's financial ruin. It should be pretty clear by now that I didn't do this because it was good politics. I did it because I believed it was good for the country. I did it because I believed it was good for the American people.
Obamacare was bad policy yesterday. It's bad policy today. Obamacare was bad law yesterday. It's bad law today.
Well, that represents the two basic opinions on what the Supreme Court did yesterday in declaring the Affordable Care Act constitutional, more or less. Now, I think little has changed. What concerns me the most, I speak for myself here, is religious liberty and the complaints against the HHS mandate, which obviously has some connection to the Affordable Care Act, continue apace. At least they ought to. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Friday afternoon. It's the 29th of June. We'll kick it off with a conversation with Ed Meese, former U.S. Attorney General, on the Supreme Court's ruling yesterday. A little bit later, the church keeps a different calendar on June 29th. The church is remembering Peter and Paul. Dr. Jeff Oswald will join us to do that. We'll speak a little bit with George Conger of Get Religion about media coverage of religion stories. Then we'll have a little bit of Issues Etc. comment line. Eric Rosbach, Deputy Counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, will join us to talk about the Supreme Court's. We're going to go into some more detail on the Supreme Court's ruling and the HHS mandate. Then we'll talk about the abortion angle on so-called Obamacare with Carol Tobias, President of National Right to Life. And as usual, on Friday, at the very end of the program, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. I'll tell you a little bit about that a little bit later. Yesterday, we were able to record an interview with Ed Meese, the 75th Attorney General of the United States during the Reagan administration. But due to a power outage here in Collinsville, Illinois, our live listeners did not get to listen. So we thought we would play it for you and bring you that interview today. Ed Meese is the 75th Attorney General of the United States. He's Distinguished Fellow in Public Policy and Chairman of the Center for Legal and Judicial Studies for the Heritage Foundation, based in Washington, D.C. I began our conversation with him yesterday asking whether or not the Supreme Court's ruling brings a halt to the numerous lawsuits pending against the HHS mandate regarding contraception.
I don't think it necessarily does. Obviously, if today the Supreme Court had done what I believe they should have done, which was to hold the whole act, the Obamacare so-called Affordable Health Care Act, unconstitutional, then we wouldn't have to worry. But unfortunately, they did not. And so I think what is necessary now is to proceed with the lawsuits that are pending, but also for Congress to take an act. They have a responsibility equal to that of the Supreme Court, obviously, in upholding the Constitution. And the way they can do that is to repeal the Obamacare Act.
Some are also concerned that the upholding of the Affordable Health Care Act is going to be a means of backdooring taxpayer funding for abortion. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think that's generally what is true of the act itself, because certainly, as so much power is given to the Secretary of Health and Human Services, you can have more of these edicts, such as we recently had in terms of contraception and sterilization and abortion.
Does today's ruling give you any indication of where the justices might side on those pending HHS lawsuits?
Well, I don't think it does, because the key to the edict, the lawsuits regarding this edict of the Secretary, I think really turn around the whole issue of religious liberty. And as those cases are decided, that should be the basis. And I don't, while this, while a positive decision in this case, in terms of overruling the law, could have perhaps ended the lawsuits, the current state of the law that we're in, I think the lawsuits will continue.
How do you account for how the court ruled today?
It's very hard to understand it, particularly when they held that the law is and the individual mandate and the penalty for not getting health insurance is a tax for one part of the law, or one part of the court's consideration, rather, of the law, and it's not a tax for another part of the court's consideration of whether there's whether it violates the Anti-Injunction Act. So it was a very curious ruling, and one that I don't is probably one of the most important issues that has been before the court in a long time. And in terms of really deciding the issue, getting us back towards the Constitution, I think they blew it on this one.
Do you agree that it stands with, I mean, they were saying this morning that it stands with the latest, or the Supreme Court's decision in the Bush-Gore case?
Well, it could have, I think. But I think by their failure to enforce seriously the Constitution and to really give us a holding that would create what I would call a jurisprudence of interpretation that leads us back to the founders' concept of the Constitution, I think by failing to do that, they've lost that opportunity.
You mentioned that the Congress needs to act now to do something about the Affordable Health Care Act. How does that work?
Well, what the main thing that they ought to do is just repeal the entire statute and start over. There's a lot of things that can be done to improve our health care system. There are things like allowing people to buy insurance as private individuals and get the same benefits that businesses do in terms of the tax structure. There are things that other things that can be done along the same lines. But what we ought to do is, first of all, go back to the drawing board. Remember, this was jammed through, and not one member of Congress in either house read the whole bill. Nor were their hearings held as there normally is, particularly in such far-reaching legislation such as this. So I think we need to go back, repeal the bill, identify what really are the problems that need to be solved, and then in a common-sense, regular procedure with hearings and the kind of fact-finding that is necessary for any kind of good legislation, Congress go through and solve the problems rather than simply enacting a bill which essentially turns the entire healthcare industry over to the federal government.
It's being reported in the press that a speech you gave back in 1985 was an inspiration to Chief Justice, then attorney, but now Chief Justice Roberts. And of course, he sided with the majority in the court on this opinion. What are your thoughts there, Ed?
Well, as I say, I think it was a surprise. I don't really understand what his reasoning is that enabled him or moved him to do this. He's a very respected justice. I have a high regard for him. He's a very honest and certainly a very thorough lawyer in his approach to jurisprudence. So I really can't explain or understand where he came from with this rather unusual ruling.
Can the proponents of the HHS mandate that we mentioned a few minutes ago, can they at this point say, well, looky here, the Supreme Court has upheld the act in effect, so any objection to Kathleen Sebelius's mandate is really moot. Can they do that legitimately?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, the court did not hold, no part of the court's holding today should affect the deliberations on the Secretary of HHS's ruling on the edict that firms, all businesses, and everybody provide this health care that includes contraception and these other things related to it. So these were not at all at issue, and these are totally separate. And the idea that that a separate part of the law was upheld today, which should have no effect on these decisions.
The way I heard it, and I come at it from a complete layperson's standpoint when it comes to the legal matters here, but it sounded like the court said, well, the government was wrong to argue that it was constitutional based upon commerce, but if you want to argue on the basis of the Congress's power to tax, they can argue that, and therefore it's constitutional. It sounds like they almost made the argument for the government's case here.
Well, in a sense, they did, and The government had a tough time because the government lawyers, I suspect, realized the only possibility to get this before the court was by calling it a tax. Yet the Obama administration had claimed vociferously throughout the legislative aspects of it that it was not a tax. And then another part of the law, the Anti-Injunction Act, says if it's a tax matter, there is no standing to sue. And in that regard, so the court had to have it both ways. I mean, rather the lawyers had to have it both ways. And I think the judges tried to have it both ways. Those that voted for upholding the mandate under these circumstances. So it was a very confusing and confused opinion.
Given what was decided today, and especially who ended up where on either side of the decision, how do you read the court now, Ed?
Well, I think this was a case that was very difficult. It was a case in which the judges faced a lot of different aspects of it, and so I don't think that this case stands for much of anything, except it does have one very important part of it, and that is the court did rule, and this was pretty clear, that the Commerce Clause could not be used as a catch-all for Congress to do anything they wanted to without any limitations on their power.
Would you read that as a bit of a silver lining?
I say it's a silver lining in a rather dark cloud.
Was today's Supreme Court ruling a setback for social conservatives?
I would say that today's ruling was a setback only in the sense that it has changed the venue in which the upholding of the Constitution has to take place. The court refused to do what is necessary, I think, to uphold the Constitution in regard to health care. It now falls to the Congress, in a sense, to restore the constitutional limitations that essentially are there on the power of government.
It certainly can be done. Do you think it will be done?
I hope it will. It may not be done this year. It may not be done with the present people in the White House or with the present leadership in the Senate. I think there's no question it'll be done in the House. The problem will arise in the other House and in the White House. But I think, obviously, there's an opportunity, depending on how things come out in November, for it to be done next year.
Ed Meese is the 75th Attorney General of the United States under the Reagan administration, distinguished fellow in public policy and chairman of the Center for Legal and Judicial Studies for the Heritage Foundation based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to the Heritage Foundation at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ed, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
In about an hour, we will go into some more detail on both the HHS mandate and the abortion angle on Affordable Care Act with Eric Rosbach and Carol Tobias here on Issues Etc. this Friday afternoon. Stay tuned. We'll talk Peter and Paul after this. Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We, the saints at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church, wish all lovers of the unshackled art of music unceasing grace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Since the beginning, the church has spoken by her sacred hymns. Now is your chance to contribute to the great voice of the communion of saints throughout history with the St. Ambrose Hymn Writing Contest. Render your contribution to this great corpus of song. For more information, visit clamavi.com. That's C-L-A-M-A-V-I.com.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.